Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2485 with a release date of Friday, June 13th, 2025 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams in Iran give an on-air history lesson to DX stations. An Indiana MCOM group goes digital, and a 6-meter activity conjures some special magic. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2485 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
A small group of amateurs living in different cities throughout Iran joined together over the airwaves recently to give the world its first ham radio history and cultural lesson about the Persian Gulf. John Williams, VK4JJW, brings us that report.
It was a proud moment for 11 ham radio operators in Iran who got on the air on June 7th, calling CQ on SSB as Special Event Station EP2PG. Using modest home-based equipment with 100 watts of power or less, the operators faced less than ideal conditions on the HF bands during their 16-hour operation. Still, it was a proud moment as the hams of Echo Papa II Persian Gulf celebrated the historical and cultural significance of the Persian Gulf itself and shared it with the world. One of the operators, Morteza, EP5APP, told Newsline that the team's focus was on making as many DX contacts as possible in the interest of friendship and unity, and of course to share the story of the Gulf, which is one of the world's oldest maritime regions. The team achieved that goal, logging more than 360 QSOs from 60 DX countries across Europe, Asia, Oceania, and the Americas. Morteza told Newsline, quote, "This activity was entirely self-funded and carried out by volunteers with a shared passion for radio and a strong desire to make the voice of Iran heard in a positive, non-political, and welcoming way," end quote. They're ready to do it again next year, hoping to exchange even more stories and, of course, QSL cards. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
With emergency communications embracing digital modes more and more, operators increasingly find themselves navigating the tricky landscape of system access and compatibility. Randy Sly, W4XJ, tells us how this played out for a group of amateurs in Indiana.
In April of this year, the DuBois County Office of Emergency Management in Indiana made the decision to migrate from analog FM to C4FM digital for their 147.195 repeater during activations. The change was made to reduce noise during operation and increase the quality of copy. According to Gary Fritz, WB9LIB, operations officer for the EMA, quote, "Our new Fusion repeater system was thoroughly tested to confirm its superior performance when using C4FM," end quote. When the announcement was made to the Patoka Valley Amateur Radio Club, not all the club members were enthusiastic. Since some of them did not own a Fusion-compatible radio, this decision would exclude them from emergency operations with Skywarn. Fritz told AR Newsline that the change has brought about the desired results in message quality, as proven by recent Skywarn activation during severe weather. Quote, "We found that by using C4FM, our units are now able to check in crystal clear from locations that were previously impossible," end quote. A number of local amateurs remain unconvinced regarding the move to digital. Reuben Montgomery, KA9RCM, told Newsline that his main concern is centered primarily on the lack of access to the emergency communications by hams without Fusion radios and by visitors who are passing through the area. With the variety of digital platforms, he also sees great difficulty in picking one mode to the exclusion of all others. Regarding participation, Fritz reported that the public and all amateur radio operators can continue to monitor net communications through audio streaming over Broadcastify. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
The largest island in the state of Washington is Whidbey Island, connected to the United States mainland by bridge and ferry, and perhaps even more importantly these days, by radio. George Zafiropoulos explains why.
As of the weekend ending on Sunday, June 8th, 8 new amateur radio operators have received their licenses on Whidbey Island. These newcomers are contributing to an important momentum on this island in Puget Sound, where ham radio operators from the Island County Amateur Radio Club have been giving top priority to emergency preparedness following a recent conference on the subject held by the South Whidbey Fire EMS. Response from that conference inspired the hams to host the weekend test preparation class, which ended with the amateur radio exam itself. One of the instructors, Bob Keaton, K7MHJ, told Newsline that with the new amateurs on board, the next step is to get the island neighborhoods organized for improved radio response in a crisis. A neighborhood representative with a GMRS radio would be able to communicate with a ham who also holds a GMRS license, and together they would gather damage assessment data and pass that along to the county. Bob, a retired police officer, said that the hams have the ability to use Windlink peer-to-peer and VARA AC-FM to reach the Emergency Operations Center. As a volunteer civilian coordinator between the hams and the Island County Department of Emergency Management, Bob knows that living near an earthquake-prone fault line, such as the Cascadia subduction zone, requires this kind of readiness. He said, "Anytime we can add another link to our amateur network, I'm happy." This is George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU.
Be listening for the call sign W0Y between the evening of Sunday, June 15th, and late afternoon on Friday, June 20th. You'll be getting so much more than a QSO with a young radio operator as we hear from Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
A lot of activity will be packed into the Bob Heil Kilo 9 Echo India Delta Memorial Yoda Camp Amateur Radio Shack in Thornton, Colorado, between the 15th and the 20th of June. Young operators from the Youth on the Air Americas Camp will be calling CQ remotely and in person from there with the call sign W0Y. As well as a scheduled contact with the International Space Station and making satellite contacts, they will be operating portable, making SOTA and POTA activations, and visiting the timekeeping radio station WWV and a Bucky's truck stop. If you miss any chance to contact them or just want to follow along with their activities, don't miss the opening and closing ceremonies and the ISS contact, all of which will be streamed live on the Youth on the Air YouTube channel. The channel will also feature daily videos of some of the campers' activities from the previous day. It's almost as much fun as being a camper yourself. We did say almost. For more details or to see the operating schedule, visit QRZ.com. This is Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
De-expeditioners heading to Micronesia, Equatorial Guinea, and Wallace Island are getting a financial boost from the Northern California DX Foundation. We have details from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
The nine-member team of German operators planning the V6D de-expedition to Micronesia in September has been named as one of the latest recipients of grant money to assist their activation. The team has scheduled operations from September 22nd through October 6th. This is a group of seasoned de-expeditioners who have had a number of other successful radio adventures together. The foundation is also supporting the 3C2MD de-expedition to Biko Island in Equatorial Guinea. The operators are from the Mediterraneo DX Club, which has planned their activation from October 9th through to November 10th. Finally, Hannah Rosenfield, W7HER, has received a grant for her role as an operator on the FW5K de-expedition to Wallace Island in the South Pacific. The participating de-expeditioners, including Hannah's father, Scott, N7JI, are part of the team known as DX Obsessed. Hannah is a founder of W7DUX, the radio club at the University of Oregon, where she is an alumna. The de-expedition is set for October 20 through to November 7th. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, like the George County Aries repeater in Loosedale, Mississippi, Wednesdays at 7:37 p.m. local time. In the U.S., Oregon has become the latest state to proclaim June to be Amateur Radio Month. Governor Tina Kotek issued the proclamation in time for ARRL Field Day, which is taking place in the U.S. and Canada on the 28th and 29th of June. The state is a busy place on the ham radio map, both for hosting the convention of the Northwest Division of the ARRL and its location on an earthquake fault line that keeps emergency responders alert. Governors in Hawaii and New Hampshire recently issued similar proclamations in their respective states. If you're planning to attend this year's convention of the Radio Society of Great Britain, you can do something more than simply mark your calendar for the dates in October and then show up. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about something else you may want to consider doing.
Attendees will be arriving at Kent's Hill Conference Centre in Milton Keynes on the 10th of October for the three-day RSGB convention. The RSGB is hoping that many of those in attendance will also help shape the content of the conference by bringing a project, a paper for presentation, or plans for a practical session. If you want to get involved, share your ideas with the RSGB and let them know what you have planned, send your proposals to convention@rsgb.org.uk. Meanwhile, satellite enthusiasts will be pleased to know that, as before, AMSAT UK will hold its colloquium during the convention. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
AMSAT has given the designation of SO-125 to the Hades ICM satellite that was launched on March 14th from California. The satellite from AMSAT EA is SDR-based and supports FM phone and FSK digital data through its repeater. The SDR-based platform is especially significant because it can transmit as much as 25 watts when the battery allows, giving access to stations who are using handheld antennas. The coordinated uplink frequency is 145.875 MHz, and the downlink is 436.666 MHz. The repeater operates with an open squelch and does not require a subtone. In the world of DX, ZL100 IARU is on the air through the 31st of July, marking the centenary of the International Amateur Radio Union. A special event QSL card has been printed, and confirmation is also on LOTWNQRZ.com. Listen for operators using CW, SSB, and FT8. Pascal F6UIG will be active as TK2C from Corsica, IOTA number EU014, through the 23rd of June, using CW and SSB on 40 to 10 meters. You may also hear him doing POTA using the call sign TK/F6UIG/P. See QRZ.com for details. John W5JON is on the air from St. Kitts, IOTA number NA104 from the 15th to the 24th of June with the call sign V47JA. John will be using SSB and FT8 on various bands and will focus on 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. A team of operators using the call sign YW6M will be using SSB, CW, digital, and satellite from Isla Chimana Segunda, IOTA number SA090, from the 20th through the 24th of June, QSL direct to W4DTA. We end this newscast by sharing a little magic. Meet some hams who pulled some QSOs out of, well, not a hat, but the 6-meter band. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, shares their story.
Mike, N2MAK, is one of those hams who believes in magic. It's the kind of enchantment that brings possibilities to summertime in the Northern Hemisphere when sporadic E propagation is strong, breathing new life into 6 meters. These moments aren't summoned by a magic wand or an incantation. On the 25th of May, Mike and his friends Fred, N2RPG, Michael, W2NVP, Brian, W2BMT, and many others who took up the challenge of this just-for-fun 6-meter FM activity day found that just calling CQ will do the trick. Activating a POTA park with Mike and the others, the magic happened first for Fred, who made his first 6-meter contact ever. Within 2 hours, the friends had worked 16 unique stations on 6 meters FM locally, logging 18 contacts in all because one was at a POTA threefer. Said Mike, quote, "We had an absolute blast," end quote. Others apparently found the magic too. Mike told Newsline, quote, "What meant the most to me was the positive response from hams across the U.S. and Canada who reached out to me," end quote. Mike's hope that hams would want to try something different, in the true spirit of amateur radio adventure, was no illusion. All it took was the simple wave of a band, instead of a hand, to make it happen. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
To see videos about the event, see the YouTube links in the text version of this week's script at arnewsline.org. A good QSO can be like poetry sometimes, so why not write a haiku about amateur radio and join the Newsline Haiku Challenge? It's as easy as writing a QSO card. We can only accept the correct haiku format, that is a 3-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, AMSAT, Amateur Radio Digital Communications, Bob Keaton, K7MHJ, David Bihar, K7DB, DX World, IP400 website, Morteza, EP5APP, Oregon Governor's Office, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, shortwaveradio.de, South Whidbey Record Wireless Institute of Australia, WRTC List, Youth on the Air, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscasts, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.